know what I'm realizing? I'm looking at the thing here, January the 2nd. You know, January the 2nd is when we did the last podcast. Yeah. So we're actually not, I mean, we're not doing bad.
We're not behind. We can actually you know, I don't know. Hello, mommy.
Hello, Inya. You're going to let us talk about Love is Blind, too? I want to talk about Love is Blind, even though it's not done.
I don't care about no damn spoilers. Not spoilers. No, I'm just going to dedicate that to our...
Yeah, well, we can talk about it now, and then at the end, we talk about it again, and like we're doing episode by episode. This is like 6 episodes in.
You know, I still think that we should do that. I feel like we should do live watching.
Let me tell you what we're going to do. You see, when we're finished with it, we're going to do a podcast with Auntie Melanie. I think she said she wants to be a part of it because she's outraged.
She's watching it too now.
She finishes.
After all those corrupt, you know. Anyway, mom, hello. How are you? How's it been? Long time no see. Long time no see you on the couch.
You know what? I have to say, I'm just very subdued. I finished reading that book today.
Which book?
The Holocaust Industry by Norman Finkelstein. And it's just...
Your new cyber boyfriend who you followed in home with first night.
He's not cyber. What is a cyber?
That like it's a.
He's a truth teller, and I have so much respect for the fact that you know he exists, and I'm yet to read because I'm open to reading a book that says what he said in that book was incorrect. You understand? I'm very open to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it just really put me in a very somber mood, just for the world and for. Just for humanity, the way, you know, greed and the lies and this, it's just a lot. It's just a lot.
Do you have any points you'd like to share, or are you going to want to wait till I read it to have a full discussion?
I feel like,
on it,
I mean, like I was telling Jonathan, he's in the queue to read it. Your father wants to read it. And
he's
then,
in the queue. So where am I in this queue?
I think you're in second place because, you know, Jonathan has a pile of books at the side of his bed that is yet to be seen through by him. So but yeah, it put me in a very somber mood today, and it made me feel you know, I was talking to Pauline this morning. We're talking about the Bob Marley movie, and we're talking about, you know, just things, and just asked me, so why a so-and-so? And I was telling her about the book, and I was telling her how it's just so depressing when you really come to terms with the fact that much of the structures around you is just a bag of lies.
Yeah.
And she was like, but why you did that? Why you doing that to yourself? Well, you know, let's like avoid. But, you know, like, just like the that's like with poetry, I feel like my job as a human being is to bear witness. And it's not like I'm bearing witness every day. So I bear witness within those ways, and then I watch Love is Blind.
I guess it's the balance of
it all. Yes, I'm serious. I think I'm grateful to realize that I've been able to strike a balance with that, but I'm not looking away. We're talking specifically now about what's going on in between Israel and Palestine and the whole Gaza thing. I feel like I want us to do a specific podcast on that.
Mm-hmm.
I think perhaps when you finish reading the book, because I feel like when you read the book, you'll understand why. Like it really is distressing.
Yeah,
it's really distressing. And like I said, I'm open to reading a book that, and I'm looking for it actively because I believe in, you know, fair play. Like I want to hear all sides of the story. But this book, The Holocaust Industry by Norman Finkelstein, is just absolutely mind-blowing. And I just got to wish my father was alive, because I feel like I would want to. I think he's the ultimate person I would want to talk to about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think his opinion, he had opinions about this.
I mean, I think he would be...
intrigued.
He would be shocked at some of the facts that are in that book, you know?
Yeah.
And I think if he... I would just love to hear his opinion. And also because my father, well, you know how I feel about... I feel like he was home. So I feel like... Because I feel very, very... all over the place. Like I said, the book is just so devastatingly
destabilizing, I guess, like
horrifying to think about, you know, if and I can't say that like I said, anything in this is incorrect, because I'm yet to see a book that came out and said the facts that were placed in that one. You understand? Which basically is the idea behind the book, or at least this is a general idea, is that there is a difference between the Nazi Holocaust and the Holocaust industry. Mm-hmm. You understand? And that distinction is just jaw-dropping when you see the facts, when you see the facts highlighted geopolitically, like all the countries that are involved and the anyway, you'll read it, and once you read it, I hope sometime this year that we can have like a full conversation on the Israeli-Gaza thing. I'm hoping that there will be a ceasefire, or that there will be something that sort of halt and redirect. I continuously will have, send out strong high
energy
wishes,
and
yeah, for some sort of resolve, so that, you know, like I said, sometime this year, probably the better part, the first half of this year, that we'll come to a place where, oh my God, it's done. It's somehow resolved. I sound super naive because I know the history and I know that it's likely not to happen.
I think it's important to still have positive energy and hope, though. That's the
you know
point.
Me and the word hope.
Faith, whatever you want to use. But that's like, you know, the main point. But then we'll definitely dedicate a separate episode for that. Cause yeah. I think it's not something kind of like in between. It also feels wrong in between Love is Blind and reviewing the Bob Marley movie, or so to just like kind of just talk about it. It's
but see, that's
thing.
What I was saying though, Ina, that that's how it's working out in my head, you know. Yeah, like I'm sure. I'm putting it, not that it's any is higher or lower, well obviously Love is Blind is lower, but like I'm doing the whole thing of trying to balance, and not even trying to balance, just to ensure that I bear witness. Yeah. No matter how rough and difficult it is, I'm bearing witness. How are you?
Tired. I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of tired.
Okay, because
like
you're working.
Been weird. Yeah, but I thought I also feel like the weather has just been like weird because it's like grayish, but then like the whole temperature and things. It's just...
You're wearing the kidney warmer to work? No.
I doubt that my whole mood is binded by me.
No, I'm not saying that it will affect
not.
Your mood. I'm just saying in terms of the up and down of the weather, because it's sort of warm but also sort of cold, and that's exactly when, you know, that old whiplash, the draft, the yeah. ever present draft.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's just more or less like, you know, you feel like you really are like in a I don't know, we're in the transition phase. Like I feel I am, like personally, but also like also weather wise because I feel like it's going into spring, but it's kind of not spring because every other day it's kind of cold. So but besides that, I'm thankful and grateful for what I have. That's what I always just come back to. So that's the most important. I really did appreciate and also really enjoyed Jonathan's birthday on Friday when we went to watch the movie. We should definitely, you know, rate that restaurant, like the whole up and down and that whole, oh, you know, technology is taking over every aspect of our life, even in restaurants and things. But yeah, I don't know if you want to really talk about that or not.
No, like I said, I would like to go there for breakfast and see what it's like. Now that we know how it's done, you want to call in, like, I mean, I don't know. What's the name of it? I don't even know. See, look at this.
Something like that. Anyway, it's somewhere in Stuttgart. We don't need people locating us, you know, anymore, you know, whatever. But it's definitely worth going. Food
no,
is
but
good.
I do think that whole atmosphere and the whole thing aligns so much with Jonathan and his spirit of
his,
like,
Aquarius.
Yeah, you know, putting us in a space that was completely just outside of what we would have gone to.
Yeah, just a random off conversation I had with him. I think it was either this morning or yesterday. I don't know how we talked about it. He was like, you know, he read somewhere that like Aquarius people don't, like, they don't have Aquarius friends. And he thought about it. He said he don't have no Aquarius friend. And there's one girl at work, I also asked her, she's Aquarius. I said, you have any friends? And she thought about it. She's like, yeah, no. And then because Jonathan said, like, I think it was my point, like, because you can't stand each other. Like, I don't think two Aquarius people can, like, stick around each other that long. Like, or he was like, it just doesn't work. Like, they need to be, like, the main character within their own friend group. I don't think they want to share that.
I have Pisces friends.
Who?
You have Pauline is Pisces.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have Virgo friends. I have Pisces friends.
And you know, I have Virgo friends.
Yeah, cause I think they say Virgo and Pisces is they meld well together and like they're good friends. But
I'm trying to think. Well, Aquarius, Auntie Melanie.
Ask Auntie Melanie if she have any Aquarius friends.
We shall surely ask her that
and see. I'm trying to look.
Who else I know? There's somebody else I know, you know, who is Aquarius. Yeah, man. There's
Bon Ami. That's the name of the restaurant. Sorry.
So you want to say what it is and the madness that it is?
You know, at what is it? I think, yeah, it's Middle Eastern. It's a Middle Eastern restaurant.
No, the food was like 9 out of 10 for me. The food was really good. I have no problems with the food, but I don't like eating chaotically.
So the idea of the restaurant is that everybody gets their own individual card. And there's a QR scan that you scan with your phone, and there are no waiters. So all you do is you order via the phone, and then you have this little dinger that dings or vibrates when things are finished. I think, isn't that there, that remember that bakery used to go to, is the same type of thing they had when they had a pizza. Mm-hmm. You had this little square thing that vibrated when the food was done. Mm-hmm. It's basically the same premise, only thing you don't get everything at the same time. You get things back to back to back. And also, I guess the way how we ordered was also,
yeah, but look, the bottom line for me is the idea that I have to go pick my food up and serve it to myself. And we were sliding from the
chairs, which was not fun.
Chairs I can live with. But the idea of me serving myself and having to sit there and wait on the food and know that I'm going to... And then, like you said, we didn't order all at the same time. So we had to wait on some of the food. Like, I don't like that. But I will say that given that we know now what a better way to go about ordering, which personally I think that guy that we met at the front should have given us, especially when he says he asked us if this was the first time. So then he should have just like, look, this is the lay of the land, this is how you maneuver so that you can eat and don't feel like you're in chaos. Stress.
But even as I said, like, I felt you didn't feel off even when we got all the food, and I said every time I heard the vibrating in my head I was just like, do we have to get up? Like,
But I'm looking forward to going there for breakfast, because the breakfast menu looks stellar.
Yeah, so I'll definitely honor to do it.
So, all right, so
I guess I'll start with the Bob Marley movie. So
yeah, so we watched it. So it came out on February 14th,
yeah,
and we watched it on Friday.
Yeah, so Thursday. Yeah,
I think. Well, you want to start?
No, you can start, because in the car, somber is like, so what did you think? What did you all think?
And that's why you have to start it.
Why?
No. Yes, because, you start. What were your thoughts? Well, first of all, let's talk about our expectations going in, given that I think there are so many, many, many documentaries that we've watched over the years as a family. We watch stuff on on Netflix. We also have some DVDs. So it's not like we went in with a whole heap of knowledge about who Bob Marley was, his life, the music, the whole shebang. So given that, what were your expectations from the movie?
I'll be honest, I feel I went in there more neutral, maybe even tending towards pessimistic, but just because I feel over the past years and just in general, I'm very weary of, you know, when they portrayed Jamaican and like the patois, and I just always just, you know, who really did that for me, what's his name, the actor's son, the white boy, what's his name, Tom Hanks, his son.
Okay.
And he did that. I don't know, that really just, it did something.
Oh, you mean the accent when he tried to speak Jamaican?
Yeah, when they also have people who are just trying to, they feel like they've been in Jamaica for like 5 minutes and it's like, yo, man, you know, and it just, it's cringe. It's just very, just like cringe.
So you went in with expectations were low.
Yeah, but not necessarily even towards like the actor, especially after you were saying how, you were telling us how, you know, the guy was really worried and he didn't want to do it, like nothing against him, but just in general I didn't know, like I'd rather go in there with like lower expectations so that I don't get disappointed, you know. Mm-hmm. And especially given the fact that we know a lot, and we went to the museum, we watched all the documentaries and everything, so I didn't feel necessarily that, I didn't go in there expecting them to really like tell me anything new. But yeah, what were your expectations?
Well, I was excited just because Bob Marley, and you know, I am forever going to be grateful that I was born where I was born, that we were born where we were born.
Oh my God.
Because
I'm included now. Normally I get shoved off to the side as an in-betweener, even though it wasn't my choice where I was born, but you know, continue.
As I was saying, thanks for allowing me to continue. So I was just excited to go and see it. I don't know that I had, I didn't have no, I guess I would be lying if I said I didn't have any expectations. I just, anything to do with Jamaica, anything to do with, you know, scenes that I'm going to be seeing. And because I knew that a big portion of the film was filmed in Jamaica. And before that, I had seen some information to say like a lot of Jamaicans, over 200 Jamaicans were involved in some way or form with the movie, which I was absolutely happy to hear, because, you know, I think we've come out of that era now where there's a colonizer aspect to making music or making movies, or especially if a biopic is from, you know, if it's from somewhere, or that they try to be authentic. Also, I want to say the fact that his family, I mean, you know, they're the ones who were really behind the whole production and everything, the selection of the various actors and actresses, that made me sort of realize that, okay, this is a story that they feel like they needed to tell.
Yeah.
Right? All right, so the next part of the review is to look
at... what do you say? Like, you went in there optimistic, neutral, pessimistic? Because like I said,
optimistic.
Neutral. Optimistic.
Yeah. Okay. Optimistic, like I said, to just add another thing. I'm planning to get that on DVD when it comes out, just to add it to the collection, because like I'm a big believer, as you know, Anya, we have all these DVDs, like those are everything.
So when the war happens and we don't have internet, guys, so we have, you know, time to spend.
Also for like, I mean, God, I hopefully, knock on wood, I get to have the experience of having grandchildren, that they can have these, because I am not a fan of streaming. You understand? I'm not a fan.
Look, don't act like we don't binge watch on Netflix.
No, I'm not. But like just because I'm not a fan of it, that means I'm not gonna partake in it. I'm simply saying though that if you know this for yourself as a fact. If I truly like something, 9 out of 10 times I'm going to get it in DVD. If I truly like an album. I am going to get it in CD form, because I truly believe in ownership in that kind of a way. But going back to the movie, so again, my expectations were high. I wouldn't say high, but they were, like I said, optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of, I really was, let's talk about the storyline, like what you thought of the whole. But hold on. So first of all, let's just say the movie is 104 minutes long.
Uh-huh.
And it was the producers, the Marley family, but the production company is Plan B, which is Brad Pitt's company, which I found interesting because we sat
that was
and
so
watched.
Random. So yeah, like Brad Pitt. Like what? Well,
yeah,
to do this.
But yeah. So
you go first, since I went first a while.
What was the question again?
yeah, so good. What were like in terms of the plot?
All right, so I said it was 104 minutes long. So yeah, so for me, the first 20 to 30 minutes, I was not impressed.
Yeah.
I was convinced, I shouldn't say not impressed, but like it felt very slow. I didn't understand why it had to start so slow. Maybe I'm exaggerating, maybe not 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. It didn't feel... I think it needed to start to have started with a bang. But again, my expectations.
Yeah, I felt we were kind of just dropped in the story, but not in a good way. Just kind of like in the middle. Like, I get the whole not wanting to do it chronologically from the beginning when he was younger. But I feel that would have been a better start, because it kind of just started when he was already with his wife already,
and then
recently.
They had the flashbacks and so
but I don't think the storyline was real. Personally, it wasn't giving. It wasn't like, I don't feel it was. I don't know. Maybe it had.
I don't know.
Else,
I felt
like
like there was a lot of scenes that in the beginning that felt just empty. Exactly, empty and. Because of how I was positively, you know, hyped to watch it, I was expecting that it would, you know, sort of start out in a sort of way. But that said, I have to say, once the guy, let me get his name right, Kingsley Ben-Adir, let me tell you something. When they first announced that he was going to be the actor to play Bob Marley, I was like, what in the actual hell? First of all, he's British.
And why would they not pick a Jamaican?
No, and all of that. And also, like, when I looked at his face, I didn't see it. I did not see it. I knew Bob Marley, we all know Bob Marley is a mixed race man. He have a very specific face. And I was like, what in the actual hell is this? Right? I mean, I think body wise, kind of sort of, they say, you know, Bob Marley was kind of like on the shorter side, like 5 something, whereas this guy is 6 whatever. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't his height for me. Like his structure looked like Bob Marley, like thinner and so on. Yeah. So that only skin from queen. That point of view, I was like, okay, I guess. But I have to say, the moment that guy walked onto the screen, I was just sort of like, what in the actual hell? No, and I know you're talking, let me just say this. I don't know if they use ChatGPT with his voice.
they are not.
No, look here, because you have to sort of answer to
AI, that. Yeah, but ChatGPT is just text.
Well, AI, whatever. I don't know, but I was shocked. There were times when I closed my eyes, I was like, why does he sound exactly like, even the way he laughed, sounded like Bob Marley. And you see, the thing for me is because I've watched so many of Bob Marley's interviews, like I'm very keen on his cadence. Mm-hmm. You understand? And I think Bob Marley, let me just say this. Obviously, as a Jamaican, you have the Jamaican accent, but Bob Marley's accent is a very specific, his way of speaking is very, very specific.
Yeah.
And I give him, I can't say, he got 9 out of 10 for me with regards to the voice and the way he spoke and the way he laughed. Like it was crazy to me.
Yeah,
it was, you never see, I was in the cinema. Yes, I know, and father was just like looking at each other and like, hold up, man, this must be some sort of AI trickery.
Probably, for sure.
Then they're
think,
doing.
Yeah, I think every now and then sometimes you saw a bit of like a mask over his face or so. But
I watched an interview, many interviews with him actually, maybe 4 or 5. And he mentioned that for him, that was a big, because he's not Jamaican. I think he's from Trinidad or he's from go on talk. I'm going to check where he come from.
While he's checking. Well, for
what are your
me,
thoughts?
Also me and Jonathan, that's why till the day I die, that's my homeboy from day one. Like me and him, we just kind of looked at each other because I'm not going to lie. When he first stepped on the wig, I couldn't get over the wig. Like, I don't feel the wig was really that good. I think at some point I might have gotten used to it. I think at some point also they changed it.
And it got better.
Longer.
Yeah, I think it got better.
But the first wig, like, I was kind of, yeah. It took me out every now and then. Like, you know, when you're supposed to get into a movie and you're supposed to resonate with the character. But, like, in my head, it was just continuously reminding me, this is a movie. This wig don't set right. You know, like, sometimes, like, it would really bring me out.
I mean, I will say that the first appearance of the wig, yeah, it sort of, you could see that it wasn't right. But as the movie progressed, I think they changed it and it looked more and more real to me. And by the end, it didn't matter because his acting was just so on point for me that it didn't matter. So he's from Trinidad and Tobago. His parents, his maternal grandparents are from Trinidad and Tobago. His paternal grandparents are from the UK. And, you know, he was born in London. So
I thought he had Jamaican descent.
No, he don't have none. Dang. So the girl, though, who played Rita, mm-hmm. She is from Jamaica. I want to remember her name. And I don't know. What? You see what you're saying about Kingsley's
accent?
His portrayal, I would use that from the girl. Her name is Lashana Lynch, and she's British, but she was born, I think, hold on, let me just see this. She's from Jamaican descent. So
you heard like, the accent. I think you could hear it.
Yeah, but her accent was like flat and wrong and not good for me. Like every time she spoke, I was cringed. And I thought that was so weird, given that she is more likely to have had exposure to patois and to Jamaican speaking if she came up with Jamaican parents and so on.
Yeah.
But to Kinsley spoke about how where he's from in the UK, there's a lot of Caribbean people there, and I mean Jamaica is the highlight, as you know. Yeah. So but I felt the girl's accent was absolutely the worst. I did not like it.
I don't know. I feel like the wig was
the wig for me was in the beginning, you could see that obviously it's not it, but as for example when he went to the UK, that you could see that the wig changed, and also from the point that he got the diagnosis, and so the wig looked, it when that scene with Rita washing his hair,
mm-hmm.
from that point on, I think is the it looked more like what Bob looked like, in my view.
Yeah.
So I'll forgive him for the wig, because obviously,
I mean, it's not his fault.
You know what they said though, what I heard, I don't know if it's true, but they said, like, you said the young man that played Bob when he was a younger, yeah, you know, in real life he has really really thick locks, like,
how
really
did they
thick.
Do that then?
They took it out and put it back in. I don't know how they do that.
Oh, he has they have extensions,
right? So like,
I felt like the younger versions looked more like Bob than the main guy did. And no shade again to, like, the main actor. I think he did a great, like, a really good job. But I think looks wise.
What?
Yeah, because I feel, yeah.
No, sir.
I felt the younger ones look more.
I think,
like,
what
Bob.
I liked about Kingsley's appearance too was that it gave the impression of Bob, but he wasn't like
trying to mimic him.
No, it was just him doing a version of his interpretation of who Bob was, and I think that was what was digestible for me, because I would not have wanted an actor who was doing it hardcore to look like him. Or I think what he got right was needed, like the fact that he spoke like him to me was important. The dancing was kind of off, because again, Bob was just a specific person, and like some, like you said, that the
that's not something you emulate. I feel the, like you can't emulate it, yeah.
When him, what was it? The
on the stage.
Right, at the, I think it was at the last One concert, Love. The One Love concert before he, that is after he got his diagnosis.
Yeah.
If you watch the real clip of that, it was just an electric performance. And like Bob was as, I don't know if he was high or it was like a supernatural thing going on. It was as wild
spiritual
on the stage.
Event.
I feel like Ben's tried his best, but it just didn't work. And
that's the thing.
Fine.
I don't think that's something you can act, reenact. That's like a, that's a feeling that catches you, you know?
Yeah. All right. So I want to just be clear. For me, I think he did a great job. And I know that he got a lot of flack in Jamaica when he was chosen. And I think there are some people who are still sort of low-key not happy about it.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
which is understandable to an extent. Like, I don't
know. But I think Jamaicans need to really, we have to understand too that what we're doing, like, for real, you're not gonna find somebody who is perfect for Bob. Bob is Bob.
For sure.
And if we're doing a movie, we have to allow.
Yeah, but I think it's just a bare fact that, you know, there probably was a possibility that they could have just, you know, found somebody who is also Jamaican. But I guess that's like too, like, on the nose. But it's something very personal to Jamaican, so I can get that. But as again, like, I will say, regardless of whatever, I do feel he gave his best. I think at some points I personally felt like I feel like maybe he might have been a bit too much in his head, like trying to, like, wanting to be perfect. Like, mm-hmm. There was a bit of easing into it, especially when it comes to, like, the dancing. For me, it was the talking, and also like some situations, some moments you realize, like, he got into it, but he wasn't always, I'd say, like, in the flow constantly. There are a lot of times where I feel like, okay, he might be too hyper focused and trying to, like, resemble Bob Marley, you know. But that's just my opinion.
I think that it's important that it would have been if it was a Jamaican, you understand? And I do think that they tried to find somebody who is a Jamaican to play the part. I don't think that there was a Jamaican actor out there who did not audition for the role. And I think we have to put a certain level of trust in the family. It's their father. Mm-hmm. It's their, you understand? So, like,
so here's an idea, because just quickly, but like, why not pick one of the sons? Like, yeah, Damian, I mean, Marley.
Yeah. Oh.
You're going to have to explain this, because just like giving a vague sound is not explanation. Why not?
I mean, I just don't see it.
What do you mean you just don't see it?
I just don't see it. You would want to do a movie from me, of me.
Okay, first of all, that's racist. I don't think that would, like,
what do you mean racist? What?
What do you mean? I mean, not racist, but like color, like we don't have the same shade of tone. That wouldn't work.
But that's the thing. Because I don't think Bob and them look alike.
I think
like
Damian
that.
Looks. I mean, he's a bit more lighter than Bob. But
I don't think he looked like Bob. Bob was very handsome. Damian is.
That's mean.
Wait, how is it mean?
Are you calling him on the internet, on Beyonce's internet, calling him ugly?
I'm not saying he's ugly, and it's not Beyonce internet. We're not doing that here. All right. I'm not saying that he's ugly. I'm just saying that I mean, Bob had such a very specific set of features. I think that Kingsley did a better job of it than any of his sons could. Because remember, who we're going to ask to do it? Maybe Julian Marley, I don't know if you know him, he sort of have that sort of look from Bob. But I don't see Damian doing it. Certainly, I didn't see Ziggy doing it. And the other one that is an American, who was American footballer, what's his name? The one that was with Lauryn Hill. He's more on a more stockier, like he has a bigger body. And so I mean,
Okay.
So all right, you remember which?
What?
What was it? Was it Ice Cube?
I was just going to say, because that's why I thought.
Well,
about
you see,
it.
In that situation, I think that works because, I mean, come on, it's like copy
you
and paste.
Yourself.
Copy and paste. Yeah. But with Bob's situation, I think, I mean, any of his children, it would be, and I think, I know for myself, I would never want to do that. I feel like that would be
you
such
don't
a
pay
huge.
Grandma.
No, no. Because that would be such a heaviness to I would prefer to oversee it, to choose somebody who I think have the looks,
yeah.
And then know to make sure that what I wanted to say and what I remember about her. And I think that's what they tried to do.
All right, so I have a question. In sight of, you know, your pre-existing thoughts, you watching the movie, you're having time to digest the movie, in your honest opinion, do you feel the movie was necessary?
First of all, I only give honest opinions.
Right, given all the documentaries and stuff, like, do you think the movie was really necessary?
Yes. What? It's always necessary. More Jamaica. More Bob Marley. What do you mean?
So I see we're still trapped in the ego.
Oh, how ego? Because like, no.
What did it give you?
We've never had a... There's no biopic of Bob Marley. No. Oh, we've had a really great documentaries. And I think... All right, let me just say this. The thing that I find to be most important about this piece of work, you know, is that I think the family wanted to highlight that very specific event that happened to them as a family that sort of exploded the trajectory of all of their lives. Because up until that point, Bob hadn't gone international yet fully.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You know, they say Coxsondah did sell off, not Coxsondah, Scratch Perry did sell some of his records illegally in UK. And that's how, like, for example, Chris Blackwell learned about him.
Mm-hmm.
But he hadn't gone overseas in a very legitimate way yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole thing of him being in the UK for that time was when he made the Exodus album and when he went, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So then also the family, they went to the United States because of the whole thing,
yeah.
of the thing. I mean,
safety.
I want to say that for me, and this is not me sort of like comparing or not, but I know I grew up in the 70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, the whole thing is our house, during what night was, I think this was in 1976, 77 or
yeah.
So on, the house was shut up and all of these things. And I remember that we had to leave the home, we had to literally abandon that home and go live somewhere else. And that was it's a seminal moment in my history. You understand?
Yeah.
As well as, you know, my brothers and sisters who were alive that time, both mommy and daddy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like I can identify with how, I mean, that he got shot, Rita got shot in her head.
And
I mean,
guy nearly done.
Like, I mean,
killed.
That was that's a massive
yeah,
thing that happened,
sure.
Not just to Bob and his career, but to the family.
Yeah.
So, and I think that is why that's the point that they go back to tell the story from.
Mm-hmm. But staying on the point of family, though, also back to that with the question I asked,
right?
Because do you feel it was 100% a good representation of like all the aspects of Bob?
You're so messy. Why are you?
I'm asking a question. I'm an interviewer, right? I know this is very
why are
important
you
to you.
No,
so
why?
I'm just like,
why are you?
Probing,
how have
poking.
You become the interviewer? I thought we're having a conversation.
We
about
are,
the
but
I'd
want
to because
I want.
What
to, because
do you
you're
think?
Very, because I don't. As I said, like if I had to answer it honestly. I think it was okay. I don't think it was necessary that they had to do this. Also, my worries is that, you know, how Hollywood is. Now the gate door is open. In a couple of years, again, we go see another reenactment, another one. Like, how many different movies are there for, like, reenacting people's, like, legacy and story just
Look.
For, like, get a buck? And maybe that's my ego being attached to it because of the whole Jamaica thing. I don't want, like, you know, my culture to be sold in that type of way. And then also for it to get watered down in a way. And I don't feel...
It can never be watered down.
Yeah, but I don't feel in terms of... Like, I feel the way how they were selling him, or like selling the story. It's like, I feel that there's a bit of, I get it, he was a legend, he was definitely, you know, one of those people, but I don't feel they really gave me a real insight of how he really was.
Well, I will, you know, agree with that, but then I wonder if that had to do with the fact that this is his family who was telling the story, and you know how it is
when family.
When family is doing this, we're gonna talk about the messiness where you just say edge for going, you know, it's I'm we're gonna talk about it, okay? We're gonna get
feel like
to
a
it.
Lot of people know about that. I know they wouldn't notice it unless they had the background information, which again,
of course they notice it, because I mean, when you know, also funny, when I was talking to mommy about it, and I was like, I said, let's Google the children of Bob Marley. And when we Google it, the first person who came up was Damian, not Ziggy. Ziggy is the oldest son. You understand, Ziggy is a performer himself in his own right, and he was Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers before, when they were younger. So the idea that when you Google Bob Marley children, it's Damian that come up, there's a whole story about that. We're gonna go on that point, but what I want to make the point on what you were saying regarding no, I missed my point. What were you saying before? What was the question that you were going on again?
The question about before, if it was worth it. If it was worth it.
It was worth it. Yes, necessary. I think that if it's from whether it is from the entire family or from at the end of the day, the fact is that this is these are his children, and Rita is still alive. Rita is his legal wife, and they wanted to put up a movie to say, this is who we see our father as. I agree with you though that, are we doing Bob the Legend? Are we doing Bob the Man? Right? Because Bob the Legend is already very clear to everybody. I don't know nobody in the world who don't know who he is. And like we said, we agree, all the documentaries have been so very, very detailed and just really good that the family has a perspective on who he was as a man. And I thought that that's where the movie failed, because they did not give us any sort of I don't think they didn't demystify Bob. Mm-mm. You understand?
They said very surface, because I think, and almost at some point, I personally felt it was almost like them comparing to like a version of Jesus, like a new
version like
of Jesus.
For real.
And like the only two major scenes where there was something that happened was when him and Rita were fighting,
which was weird.
If you know the history, it makes sense. But if you don't know the history, kind of like, where is this coming from?
Exactly.
And what you mean? True, like, true. She having, because like the thing is that both of them were, because that's the whole Rastafarian belief, to like, you know, spread the seed and all stuff. But they never really like, you know, prefaced that whole thing. And then when he was like beating up on Don, which also kind of just was a very subtle side plot that's like, oh yeah, he's stealing money, by the way. But, you know,
I think I agree with that. I think not just that scene, but you, whenever Rita came into the scene, she always had this look like she was being a tortured wife, or she begs with him for something. But we didn't know what was going on. But we knew, if you knew the documentary, you know the life, if the you come history. From Jamaica, you know that, you know, a lot of stuff were going on in the background. But I think that's one of the problems when you have family members being the producers for a biopic, you know, because they're going to want to sanitize things. You understand?
Which is sad.
And the sanitization of the thing is what takes away from him, from us, the fans, knowing him as a man, right? I think the family, they walk that very narrow line of still wanting to make him be this mad mystery. Yes, and then he's a mystery. Versus, you know, just actually telling us who he is and risking it, because I think had they done that, because it comes from the family, we would have taken it for what it was. You understand? We wouldn't have judged
everything else before.
All right, fine, Anya, let's go on, let's talk about it.
All right, so wait, what's your you want to do the rating at the end?
Yeah, we'll do the rating at the end, but let's talk about the movie from the point of view of, did they tell the entire truth? So like, I want to just say, right, let me just
take the stage, mom.
I personally have a problem. Like, I don't look, people can have the kind of relationship.
You know, when she starts a sentence like two or three different ways, it's like there's a lot of, you know, rumbling going on. No, like, how do I?
I'm tussling. No, look here, I'm not gonna lie with you. I'm tussling with the whole thing. Rita Marley is Bob Marley's legal wife. She had one child before she met him, who Bob Marley took and named Marley. So he was already open to the idea of other children, right? They had three children together, and those three children, we know already, Sidella, Steven, and Ziggy. And then after that, Bob had just, he was just like a menace to society when he come on to women.
But
like,
spread the seed.
And that's the whole Rastafarian thing. And I think in a lot of ways, Rita was okay with it because clearly he named them Marley. He never run away from the responsibility. And she, they came, like when we see the movie, every time we see the group of people.
It was like five new sex. Where did these come from? Wasn't he in Europe? What's going on?
Like every time we see him and the painting them, it's like at 17 more added.
Because somehow you don't know, are these kids or these are just like random people who like just live there?
I think that's the whole idea that like they were very, the Rastafarian, they're very much open to it. And I think just to speak on the relationship between him and Rita, I think that they sort of personified that whole thing of like, look, we're building a tribe and we're dealing. I've watched many documentaries with Rita talking about, you know, like, you know, she became more of a partner and a friend to him by the end, that, you know, she would sort of like wrangle some of the women them out and dressing room and so on when she, you know. But the thing for me with this though is, and this is my, this is just my personal take on the whole thing. Damian Wiley's mother, Cindy Breakspear, is former Miss Jamaica, former Miss World. I have issues with the fact that Bob Marley supported this woman in her bid to become Miss World after she became Miss Jamaica. He supported her in that bid. And Rita Marley speaks about it in her book, No Woman, No Cry, where she talks about how Bob financially supported Cindy in her bid because the Jamaican government did not agree to her participating in the 1976 Miss World because they were boycotting it based on the fact that South Africa was sending a black Miss South Africa and a white Miss South Africa because apartheid. So the idea that Bob Marley, the man who stands for freedom and rights and black Africa and all of these things, was supporting a white woman who, in my view, should not have even won Miss Jamaica, was supporting her in a beauty pageant, which in my view is also not a Rastafari thing. And then she turns around and win. And I think she having won the title of Miss World, I think Jamaican government at the time never had no choice but just to just like
accept it
and rally behind it. That said,
that's the most toxic thing though. It's like, you know, it's like your parents say, don't do that. You do that and then you get a prize for it. And your parents are like, what do I do now?
I think...
Because she never got punished or nothing. No repercussions.
But I mean, I don't think fundamentally, I mean, it was just a stance of the government. I guess they, you know, she could do, I don't, like I said, in Rita's book, that's what she says. She says that Bob supported the whole thing and that's that. That's for history. My thing though is this. I am not a fan of, you know, the whole colorism thing in Jamaica. Bob Marley, I don't know if he's a colorist because he seemed to like every woman of every race. Right, like we say, he was just a menace when he come on to that, and I love him for that. And I also sort of low key like wish that it wasn't that way, but I also respect that this was how he chose to live. And given that he died at 36, I can understand. It's like he had a short time on earth. Like
he knew,
so he was busy.
I gotta leave some jeans behind.
But I think that Cindy Breakspear coming out and making a post for Bob Marley's birthday and talking about, I don't know if you saw it on Instagram, where she talked about all the places that she was with him, and she even mentioned the fact that she was with him in the home that he shared at Hope Road in Kingston, which is with
that's
his wife. I found that to be disrespectful, and I wondered if she did it purposely because she knew what was happening back in with the background movie. With the movie, that she was, there was an actress who played her that we never
like,
saw
2.5 second screen time,
and she never said a word. And
because was she the one who gave him the ring? Because I feel like that was
no
that
the
thing.
the ring was from some African some political leader in Africa.
True. It was that person,
but
oh.
And I don't, that's the thing, I think that if the ring was from Cindy, they would not have put it there. And I think this is where the bitterness of the movie got to me, because I feel like Ziggy, seeing as how he's the face of the family and he's the one that is, first of all, I want to say I had big problems with the fact that he had to be at the front of the movie saying, hi guys, this is our story from our father, I hope you like it. It's like he's just interjected himself in something that nobody wanted to see. Which movie ever go and see that?
I just want to say, I don't know, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel the only child that was named by name was Ziggy.
Right.
I don't remember hearing any other name.
And
drop.
That's the thing for me that really concerned me. And I don't know, like, I'm waiting to see. Nobody I know in Jamaica has seen the movie yet. Because I'm wondering if he only did that for the German showing, the European showing.
Yeah.
You understand? Maybe when regular cinemas in other parts of the world, he's not there. But I did not like that. And it caused me to think that, hold on, there's an argument that is being floated around, you know, that Ziggy really is jealous of Damian, and that's his way of sort of stamping that, look, I am the firstborn, I am the one. Also, I felt like the movie could have ended, like your father said, it could have ended on a much more like one love, harmonious thing. So, all right, you didn't mention Damian, you didn't mention any of this. Julian just win the Grammy for reggae. You don't mention none of that, right? Mm-hmm. So that means at the end of the movie, when they were showing us these little clips of like Bob Marley doing interviews and so on,
yeah,
why not show a picture of all his children, you understand, including Damian? Why not show a picture of, because I'm assuming all the mothers of these children are still alive,
for sure.
Why not do that, you understand? Because that really was what Bob was about, and based off the interviews that Rita has done over the years, she clearly states that she was in connection, she was in contact with the mothers and with the children.
Yeah.
You understand? So I feel very, very, very uncomfortable with the whole thing from that point of view. And I'm very sad to think that Bob was such even though he was scandalous in his living, this is clear, he seemed like he was a very open, kind person to all children, because Rita ended up having, I think, two or three children within the marriage, you know, for a different man, you know.
Yeah.
And those children are named them. Marley.
Yeah.
You understand? So you can see the kind of man he was, and I felt that they should have honored that spirit in the movie.
Well.
Even and that is why Mr. May have a sort of, I'm side-eyeing the family, and specifically Ziggy, for that, because I'm wondering if that was a whole, that was the
shtick.
I think
that was, because I mean, why would we think that celebrity family constellation, still family constellation, there is feud, there is jealousy, there are things within a family, especially when it is somebody who is so highly acclaimed as Bob Marley. I think it's almost like some of them feeling extra, like, okay, I have to be the one. Especially, like, you know, we talk about this, like, the firstborn, second born, and so on. And the firstborn feeling like it is his rightful place. Like, we make fun of the whole royal family and stuff, but I think that's just like a huge personification, or like a display of how dysfunctional a family can be.
But that's the point, though. I don't think that family was dysfunctional while Bob was alive. I think that it just was not a conventional family.
Yeah.
You understand? And I also think that given when Cindy made her post, and there was a big hoopla in Jamaica over it, you know, because people were just like, this is a matey and side chick thing, and, you know, Rita yammed because she make Bob Marley treat her any type of way. But when you listen to the interviews from Rita, you realize Rita was only respected by Bob, and only loved and cherished by Bob, and, you know, he took her children, she took his. The thing that struck me to be very troublesome was when I saw Ziggy had made a post about, because after Cindy Breakspear made the post, you know, a lot of people came out and were saying things, and then Ziggy made a post, and in his post, he basically just said, you know, he put a picture of his mother when she was younger, and he said that something to the effect of her being a woman who is a ride or die, and, you know, when you take a bullet in your head for a man and stand by him and raise his children and so on, you know, that, you know, the caliber of woman that she is, and hashtag queen, hashtag, you know what I mean? And I thought, okay, so he didn't call Cindy name, he didn't reference the thing, but clearly it's supposed to respond to what was going on. And I'm like, okay, so is there a family rift that is going on? I don't want to defend Cindy Breakspear. I'm going to finish after this. Yeah. And you can't say, I don't want to defend her, because, you know, I feel that whole colorism thing play a part in her ability to come out like that with her chest on the talk about, you know, oh, what did she say? Hey, people can't stay over there and talk. She would not pass up. Basically, she wouldn't pass up on the opportunity to be with the best thing that come out of Jamaica in our so many years. And so therefore, she don't have no apologies for the fact that she was sleeping with a married man.
Yeah.
Which, again, Bob is a grown man, and they did, and clearly Rita never have nothing to do with it. But, like, come on. I think it's sort of embarrassing, I think, for Damian, because this is his father, this is his mother. He understands the circumstances under which he was born. Yeah. All she has to do is just say what she has to say in a more respectful way and fall back. But the question is,
what?
when we're talking, you are asking the question about, okay, was it necessary to do a movie? And
I love how that whole
Bob Marley. Yeah, because it could be a second movie, because really and truly a second movie that incorporates a real all more picture. Exactly, because I feel like somebody like Sidney Breakspear would want to put a much more humanistic picture on who Bob was. You understand?
Yeah, I'd also like just... because that I think was one of the other major key points within the movie, was the whole thing with there was this scene when he was younger and he was running through the field and a field caught aflame, and I don't know if his father on the horse was following him or if he was following the father.
I think they purposely set it so that it looked like the father was running after him, which is sort of tying to the idea that the father was a white man who's basically working with the colonizers at the time. At the end it was Alice Selassie who basically brought him home,
was a father
when the little boy on the horse.
I personally feel that whole thing dropped like that. I know when series and movies they do that whole symbolic moment, it's supposed to be this big clasp, this big like reveal once it come. I feel that kind of felt flat just based off how the story was told, and also like the way how we were just like dropped in the middle. Like I don't feel there were any, but maybe I'll admit that maybe it's because like I know this history, I know like how the story goes, so I know what's coming, but I don't feel there was any like decline or like incline of like, okay, the you know, my suspense or anything. I feel everything was relatively, I don't say flat because flat sounds negative. I think it was a good movie for what it was, but it wasn't like, for somebody who knows the history, I was like, okay, you kind of watch that. And that's no disrespect to, I can imagine like the effort and everything that went into it, but just a lot of those like aspects, and also knowing a lot of that kind of, I don't want to say like ruined it, but definitely kind of like tainted my view on it, I guess. I don't know.
I like those bits. I disagree with that completely. I really
but
do
you
like,
feel they hit as they were meant to hit?
I think that given that the first one of the first scenes was him being given the picture with the father, because that's the only picture that is known of his father.
Yeah.
And his father never, I mean, with all the popularity that he has gotten and everything, and he has a name from his father, Marley. So with all the popularity that he got over the years, not once did any family member from the father's side ever throw up and say, yeah, is we.
Yeah.
So in a big way, I feel like, again, I think there was a tension for the family. They wanted to show him as the man, but because it's the family, they needed to sort of give a sanitized version. So in their attempt to do the whole man, the story of who he was as a man, they wanted to start from who he was as a boy. The idea that this was a boy that did not have a father in his life, that he was already isolated in a country and in a particular part of the country where his skin color was like a standout.
Yeah.
You understand? And then they didn't talk about it in the movie, but his mother left Jamaica, and so he was just basically living on his own.
They just, again, that was just like a small short scene where they brushed up on it. I think when him and Rita basically, like, he went over and he slept over at Rita's.
Right. In her book. Right. In the book, No Woman, No Cry, Rita talks about that because he used to sleep in the studio, and Rita had him come and live, or she used to sneak him into the room because her grandmother she was living with, but she was very strict, and so obviously she wasn't going to agree to it.
Yeah.
But Bob didn't have nowhere to sleep, and so she used to sneak him in. So I think that's what they were trying to do, to sort of understand.
We didn't see that. We didn't know that. There was no grandmother or nothing.
You mean from Rita?
Yeah, because at some point, like, I remember that scene when she kind of like, she went in and then she kind of opened the door. Like, and then she said she was alone. So I was like, okay, but if you're alone, why you didn't just open the door from the gate? Like, it's this stuff like that. I think they assumed that the viewer would have had that knowledge and know that, but they didn't translate that into the movie, you know?
Well, I think that is one of the things that, I guess, because in many ways, because there are so many documentaries, I think the storytellers assume that people have a bit of the background already, which is not a good assumption to make.
Yeah.
Especially if you want to sort of tell a really, really authentic, cohesive story. I don't think that I feel like the scene with the fire and the of the field and him running, it's just very symbolic in my view of what he's had to do all his life, and that he has always wanted to find a father. I think that's what he found in Rastafari. I think that man at the very, I think in the beginning where he went and sat with him on the beach, yeah, the man with the long rasta that was wearing his rasta like a scarf.
Oh, man, I'm not gonna lie.
It was a scene.
That was semi, like, nothing against the rasta thing at all, but that was just very, I don't know, it was just,
I love it though. I feel like that's how, like, the way you call them, the bubble dreads and so on, that's how they grow their hair really, yeah, wild.
Natural, not like the aesthetic dreads.
Exactly. Because, yeah, you know, I have to say, I really am not a fan of the aesthetic dreads, you know, but that's a whole other conversation. Yeah. So in a way, Rastafari became for him the father, and then Haile Selassie became for him this North Star, right? Mm. And in a lot of ways, this is why I really respect Rita, because Rita is the one who also brought him to Rastafari.
Women. It's just a different conversation. So, like how women are, you know, the North Star to men.
But yeah, what I want to say, one of the best, apart from the scene with the horse and so on, I like that whole thing. I like what they were doing with that. But I don't think the movie, like, yeah, it wasn't a pull through. Like, it wasn't pulled through properly. It didn't gel. I heard somebody made a review and a point, and I thought it was true. It's like you got the feeling from the movie that there was a lot that was done that was cut out, so the movie was joined together. Patchy. And that's why the point you made about how Rita would be upset, and we're like, okay, but what caused this?
Even the fight, I felt the fight just kind of came out of nowhere.
If you didn't know what
was going on
in Paris and in Europe at the time.
I have to say, I don't know, maybe there was the time span, like the years, but I felt at some point I didn't know where are we in the story in terms of like age, why, like how many years has passed, like how long.
No, it was, but it was a short period though, and I remember the whole thing. I think it was like a two to three year period right after the shooting, and just before he got his diagnosis, so it wasn't a long span of time. But what I really enjoyed though was the making of the song, Natural. There's a you see the song where he was, when he was writing the song, you don't remember when they were in the, it was with Natural, the mystic blowing in the air, like when they were in the house, and he came downstairs and they started to just like jam together, and he write, it's like, I like that, because I have been somebody who over the years questioned the whole thing with Bob Marley. Like, did he write the songs? Did he really write the songs? Did he write the songs?
Hollywood has ruined your view.
And no, but what I did was I looked through and I saw that most of the songs, his name was there. No, what does that mean though? Is it a Beyonce thing? You know, where, you all know, right, when
there's like 10 people or so, like,
but that's the thing with that. You saw the video, I wanted to talk about that as well, about what's going on with writers. There's a girl, what's her name? One girl, she come out, I saw it on Instagram where she was talking about how Beyonce and a lot of the major, as she call them, your faves, you know, they take people's writing, their songs, and they take 25% of it at the publishing. Basically, writers not get no pay. You understand? And she was making the point that this is one of the reasons why Beyonce, she think it's karma that Beyonce hasn't won Album of the Year, because she said that Beyonce has done it throughout her career. That's her business practice, where they have writers, like writers workshops, and they sit there, they write the songs, and then select the song. Once they select the song, Beyonce and them get like 25-30% of the publishing, and they don't, I mean, if you're a writer and that's how you make your money, you're not gonna make no money from that. Mm-hmm. You understand? And when she said, I was like, what? They're coming for Beyonce, because she was like, yeah, she feel like it's karma. It's a karmic result of her, the way that she's practiced her, you know, making of her albums. And then she dropped the bombshell, which is what I was saying to you the other day when I was watching the Taylor Swift album, the Taylor Swift documentary on Netflix, that she said, as writers, we all know Taylor Swift can write. She said that is why Taylor Swift has won the Album of the Year, because and songs. Adele's, you understand, because they actually write their songs, and it is known in the industry that they are real writers.
Yeah.
So I was very much sort of thinking about Bob Marley in those ways, because I know that there was a rift between him and the Wailers, with Peter Tosh and Bonnie Wailer, and for a while I was like, yeah, you know, that's what I do, because, you know, a mixed race man, him lighter skin, Chris Blackwell would push him. I mean, I guess there may be some stories to that as well.
For sure.
But
sadly, but he was talented. You can't deny him that.
I think, yeah, I mean, his voice, and then when you check his songs, I mean, he gets credit for writing the songs. So there is that.
Yeah,
you know, but that scene of him writing the song together was really good. What else? Oh, I wanted to say that scene in the hospital, when he got the news. When he got the news of the cancer, again, it was a missed opportunity, because you can't tell me that a man at 36 gets the diagnosis of having cancer, and, you know, like basically a time limit on his life or whatever, and he just take it like, oh yeah, today's the 7th of the 7th, 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 and yeah, you know.
1 second, because there was only one scene when he went there, and I thought that the guy just told him he has to cut out the toe, and he said basically no. But it wasn't really communicated. Again, I think I'd have to rewatch it. I feel like a lot of things we interpreted into
from,
the movie.
From the documentaries that we've watched.
Exactly, because I feel in this actual movie itself, he went to the doctor, he was looking out of the window, and the guy's like, you should cut it off, or like, that's the best thing, right, or something like that. And he basically, I don't know if he even answered or if he said anything.
Did he say something about that he has the tours to go on or whatever, and that's why he can't cut it off? Because I think that's what happened, you know, that he could have cut it off and seen to it, but he was on tour and he was like, he's not doing it, Rasta not do that. Or, I don't even know. But you're right. I think that the documentaries that I've watched sort of
fill in the blanks for you. You don't know
if what I'm knowing now is from the movie or from the documentary.
So,
but
honest to God, we'd probably have to rewatch it in the comfort of our home.
Yes, I'm gonna get the DVD. But I wanna say though, I didn't like that scene. I felt like they could have figured out a better way to sort of like humanize him.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, he just watched it and he was
just standing there, and you could see that the actor himself, and I've seen an interview with him on the Breakfast Club where he said that was very emotional for him when he did that scene. He actually cried. Yeah. And that, you know, Ziggy them and the guys were there. So it's like, okay, you have to redo that one there because we can't.
That's sad.
It is very sad.
He said he actually
because,
did cry.
Yeah, he cried because he said for him,
Marley too, but you said
the actor himself, he cried, but he cried from the point of view, he said that he was internalizing, because he said to Ziggy, I don't know if I am crying right now or if it's me, the actor, who is crying.
And what I said I thought you said that how it actually was in real life, that Bob Marley was there with Rita and then he did cry in real life. Bob Marley did actually cry or something like that.
How did I try to remember what that was? Rita writing saying the book,
because I remember you saying that even if that scene wasn't right, he wasn't alone in the doctor's office when he got the diagnosis or something. Rita
because I mean, come on, by the time that he was like a major star, so I mean, you understand?
Yeah.
So I think, I don't remember exactly how it was in the book, but what I want to say is my preference for that scene, whether or not it was true, if the intention of the movie was to give us a sort of like a picture of the man, like,
give us a
there
picture
is no
of a man.
Way, there is no, and I think you could find people who could tell you, how did he react? Rita would know, his manager who's not dead yet, I think. Chris Blackwell would know. Like, there are people who are still alive who would sort of like give you a picture of how he took the diagnosis. So for example, even that scene when they're in the UK, when Rita came to visit him and he was sitting there looking, and that was the most gut-wrenching thing for me, because you know, we talk about this as we tell you about as poets and writers and even people who are revolutionaries, how when he said he's out there fighting for peace for everybody and he can't find peace for himself.
Yeah,
that was just so, because I think at the core of his entire life, the 36 that was the point. Yeah. You know, the fact that he lived such a very short life and and I think like he said when they were fighting him and Rita, he was like, what you want me for though? What you want me to stay in Jamaica and dead for hunger? You know, me have to do something for like find a way, and that's what me do. But I think that scene did really make me sad for him, and I think that scene is really how I wanted to see the scene when he was told that he had cancer.
Just all the scenes in general, just more of like a human being, like an actual touchable human, you know?
Yes, that's also the thing. I mean, when you say touchable, he had so many women and so many affairs.
Even the older versions, they just hugged. They never kissed.
No, they never, nothing like that. Somebody was saying how we saw Rita pregnant once and a 17 pitney we see there.
And we saw them kissing the bed and then they just kind of hugged.
Yeah. Anyway, like I said, let's go to the rating.
Mom, go first. Has your rating changed?
Yes, slightly. When I watched it first, I gave it as 5. A 5 out of 10. The movie. And I gave... For sure. And I gave Kingsley, his performance, I think, needs to be separated from the movie. I gave him an 8 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And that's like the highest number I could give any actor who is doing a biopic.
It's just capped.
Yes. But like, now, yeah, the 5, I would nudge the 5 up to a 6. Okay. I would nudge it up to a 6 just because... Man, they were never going to get this right. Like,
I don't believe that. Honest to God, I don't believe that. I feel like we've watched... And that's the thing. Even when I said it, I can't think of a specific movie, but I remember watching something redone and it was still good. They still... Even though you knew what was happening, the story...
From Bob Marley or what?
No. Some others. I don't know if it's a biography or some other like series that was done. Like, something... But yeah,
he's too much for me personally. He's just too much of a legend. He's too much of Jamaica. He's just everything that I don't think that there's any one sitting, one movie, one documentary, whatever, that's going to give me the feel of what I need from him. And I'm okay with that.
But what they could have done in terms of like what we know, like they're just in terms of the money that they had in comparison to like other movies and stuff. But your opinion is your opinion.
Why you give it?
I don't want you to have to often like go on that whole white woman meme on me who's like, it's my opinion.
What's your rating?
I mean, all you want, but like, what's I said rating? What I said. I think my rating of the movie still stays the same. I think I give it a 5.4. If anything, I'll give it a 5.5. It's not something like it was okay. I'd watch it again, but it's not like I was like, oh my God, I definitely have to watch it again. The guy's acting, I give him a strong 7.5.
You've been a hater, ain't ya?
I'm being honest. My own honest opinion.
I think Kinsley did a great job, but fair enough.
The 0.5 gets not done. I mean, it's not his fault, but the wig. I couldn't deal with the wig.
Yeah, and I mean, I gave the second half of the movie, the wig was better, but I think that they had enough time, and there's enough people who know for the hair that they could have figured the wig out in the first part.
Exactly. You know how many, like, new type of, like, they have the lace front weaves and everything. You're not telling me they could have made, like, a better looking wig.
But again, Anya, let's be fair. This was just the first half of the movie. The second half of the movie, I think the hair was exactly as it needed to
also,
be.
Also, there's only so much an actor can do with the script that they are giving, because I'm just very sure it was no improv type of thing where he could have ad-libbed. If you basically tell me that in the scenes when, you know, maybe I do believe in like channeling people and their essence, and maybe deep down that really was what he was channeling, like when he said he was actually crying when he couldn't cry, and he was crying and he couldn't like not cry, it was hard for him. I believe in stuff like that, and I feel even acting and the way, even though capitalism and money is plastered onto it, I do believe it's a form of art, and I think they should have respected it at that and maybe let certain things play out to see, you know, how the people, you know.
No. I think in theory that's a great thought, but I know practically if it was my father, no, you're not gonna swear you want to.
This is
me being honest about the fact that look, you want to say that you are open and you're going to do the right thing artistically and da, 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 but it's your father and you do not want him to be portrayed in any way that you know he wouldn't necessarily want to be portrayed.
I'm looking forward to our after podcast talk where you all can, you know, sign in on Patreon. Just joking, because I'd love to hear like how your biography of grandfather would look like. How would the storyline go? Maybe that should be like, if ever you have like, I don't know, you're never bored, but just like as a writing exercise, like write the script of grandfather's life, how you would write it. That'd be so interesting to hear. Or you set your face. It's like, I don't have to talk to my siblings about it. I don't want to have to get like approval.
I wouldn't do that. I don't know. Because I'm sort of, I am very selfish. I'm very territorial with my father, you know, like for
what?
Real.
You? Oh my God, that's such a surprise.
No, for real. Like, I'm not interested to share him necessarily with nobody, not even with my siblings. And they know that. Like, all of my siblings have their own picture and thing with him.
There was they wanted to look more into, especially I don't even think that's not an impossible thing, because I personally think, I don't know, maybe I find It's so weird. I'm silent.
Because the thought alone is too much for me. You know,
it's like, Inya, stop. This isn't going
anywhere. No, you know, how me stay with stuff like privacy and so on. No, I wouldn't want that. Yeah, and it's not something I don't want to share.
And it was like a private thing.
Also, my father
family.
Was not the kind of person who liked that kind of thing. Anyway, let me tell you how this was supposed to be a podcast for me and Emina. You remember?
Yes.
Me and you doing this is me being healed from my father saying, you must have damn mad. Who don't know damn podcast and not talking? So that's just an indication of who he was. He was a very, not a shy man, but he was somebody who...
private.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So well, I wouldn't say that would be
so
a
it's
thing.
Just a straight no, even if you had the thought. I
guess and I'm sure if you were to ask your uncle or your auntie them, they would probably say the same thing too.
Next time we talk to Auntie Melanie, I'm gonna ask her.
Do that.
And I'm gonna ask her if she has Aquarius friends, but that's just another topic. What was Bob actually for Zodiac?
He's Aquarius. Remember, it's February. And let me tell Jonathan Arium's like, this is, he's Aquarius.
I wonder if he had Aquarius friends.
Michael Jordan, Aquarius. I didn't say the Aquarius man, them always a sudden wild and just like, you know, out there.
Jonathan, don't.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have to watch Jonathan, see where he's going to be led.
Leave my son, making Dwayne Wando.
Well, overall, I think, as per usual, everybody should watch it to make your own opinion on it. I personally would recommend waiting to get it on DVD or when it's on one of the streaming platform, but I am not a fan of the movies.
Look, I think too theaters. That if I prefer, I would have wanted to have watched it in Jamaica or watched it with a Jamaican audience. We watch it with like seven,
two people,
Germans splattered over into the cinema. It was so, and I think there were not enough moments of the Jamaican humor that could have been highlighted. You know what I mean? Jamaicans are so, the only one time when I thought it was sort of like it was funny was when they were in the studio and I think Cox and Dodd was asking, so what a blood clot that boy they do, you remember? And I thought, okay, that was kind of funny. It was kind of funny, but there were so many other opportunities where they could have used Jamaicans are just naturally funny people.
And just be say outrageous things
For no reason.
I think there was just
that was bypassed.
Yeah, there were just subtle moments. I also think there was just like the one where I think Bob was saying how they call him Yellow Bone or something, and Rita was also saying something to the extent that she's also was being mocked.
Bullied.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel that's why 5.5. I feel it was like a missed opportunity in terms situations. Even that whole political side of it, I don't feel like they did it that much justice. Because again, I feel my brain is reconnecting to, I think Daddy was watching the rest of the documentary on Netflix, and I feel like my brain kind of like, you know, as it does, just like connect the two dots. But they didn't give us any, like, as somebody who doesn't know what Jamaica is, especially, let me say, the vision people have of Jamaica is like, oh my God, yeah, man, nice Jamaica, you know, they can't go there and like vacation, and I don't think they have any idea about like the whole politics and like the stuff, the tumultuous history that like they have gone through with that whole thing, and for them to kind of just like drop that with no real like explanation, really talking about all the things, I personally feel that was doing the thing justice, honestly.
Again, I think it is a difficult ask, because I think they believe that information about Bob has saturated the market, and many people who are coming already have the background story. But I agree with you. As a standalone movie, if you don't, and you'd have to really live and grow under a rock if you don't know about Bob Marley. But as a standalone, let's say somebody who is, I don't know, 18, 17 years old, who's never been exposed to the background of Bob Marley, it's not a good story to give you a picture of who he was.
It's a bare pass, honestly. As a grade, it's a barely pass.
Well, that's why I initially gave it a 5, you know, but I put it to 6 only because I don't know, I just
ego's attached.
Yes, not even ego, but I like all the scenes when you saw like the landscape of Jamaica, or when he came off the plane and they were running after the car, and the whole thing was just, I like all of it. Also, I like the scene with Muta Baruka. I don't know if you know, Muta Baruka is the man that when he came back to Jamaica, he opened the gate for him. Muta Baruka was standing there. Muta Baruka is a poet and a revolutionary, but like a really important you know, figure in Jamaican Rastafarian culture. He has also a YouTube channel, and because he had a radio program called Stepping Razor. Your father used to listen to that like till 4 or 5 o'clock at night time, you know. Mm-hmm. He used to be on IRAFM. Mm-hmm. Muta Baruka, I have a lot of respect for him. So I like that he was included in somehow, it, right? Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't know. I feel like I have to, because I feel like my brain is starting to like to me. I don't feel they showed that much of Jamaica.
No,
because I think about, like, I feel in my head, I just have a lot of, like,
the scenes from Kingston,
the whole fight, the whole shooting, or is that from the documentary? Like, I swear, like, I don't have mm-hmm. like, the thing isn't connected.
No, I mean, the shooting happened there, because the Hope Road, where that shooting happened, that's where the museum is actually now, you know, yeah, right? Yeah. Right, so I mean, I'm talking about, for example, when,
like, the beach, when the food, the people, like, I feel the essence of Jamaica wasn't really translated in it, but again, I feel I might be obstructed and I'm going to have to rewatch it again.
But you remember that scene where Brita and Bob was walking on the beach and they went and sat with the man and they were...
That was once.
And then when after the shooting, he went up into the hills with Claudia Massop and they were up there and they were smoking, they were having the whole gang.
But even that, you didn't see Jamaica. You saw, yeah, the people. I guess, yeah, it was dark and stuff, but I felt like I saw more of England. I saw more of like other places. Yeah. I didn't feel
maybe that. I'm gonna have to watch it over,
because that's the thing, cause yeah. Yeah, but yeah, anyway, we gave us our rating. Tell us what your ratings are for
what is your rating, Ina?
I said it.
So what are you asking me again?
I didn't ask you. I was talking to the audience, or the one daddy, I guess. I moved Jonathan before Sim.
Don't say that. There are many people who are listening. They're just silent listeners. Oh my
God. You living in Delulu land is cute and all, but at least I'm trying to stay. No, listen.
First of all,
reality.
Speak into existence what you have, right? What you want to have. Don't
or
talk about
stay in the delusion.
People are talking about delusion. I'm calling it manifestation, right? So there's that. We wanted to say something about...
This will be a review podcast, a short review on Love is Blind. I feel like I've forced 3 people at work already to be like, oh my God, please watch it, so I have something to talk about in
a
break.
Yeah, but in fairness, look here, everybody took a break from Love is Blind after...
We didn't even watch the season.
The season before 5. That. Which is fine. And also, it wasn't just about the people and the show, it was also about the host. The girl, it pissed me off. The girl.
Yeah, but she's still there.
Yeah, but I don't feel like I see her enough, and I'm happy about
but
that.
But in the 5th season, we also didn't see her. Just at the beginning. I
do think that they've reduced their appearance in the show. When the first season, second, third season, she was just hype. And we were seeing her. And I don't know, maybe, you know, what was it? It was when they did the reunion. Together. But let us see how she go behaving at the reunion.
Right, first of all, again, the 5th season we didn't even really like watch, because the way how it works, we see them at the very beginning and we see them towards the end when it's done. That's it. Or maybe in a transition when they're like, and now they're out of the honeymoon phase. Well, how are they gonna manage in real life or whatever?
Anyway, I don't think we should go in too hard on the series, because when we've done it fully, then we can accept.
I feel bad. Just a thought about me saying I'm pro Jessica. Just like, watch me in 2 weeks when something come out that she's, I don't know, racist or something.
Or you see, the last episode, the girl was shouting at the guy and said, I can't believe that she would sleep with him.
He's just not it.
All I want to say is I just want black women not to go on these reality relationship shows anymore. I think that unless they're going to have a clear understanding of, like, look, first of all, you know what pissed me off for the whole thing when she meet that stupid ass boy, she talk about no black love and black excellence. Like all of those terms are so archaic now, if you really understand what they mean and what they mean in modern times and how it really
it's almost a joke. It's
attachment to capitalism and an attachment to respectability and all of that fuck shit. Yeah. Sorry for my language. But I don't want to see it anymore. I don't want to see, and I don't know if it's fair for me to even say that, because
drop into the version. We have no idea who the people are, like who's.
We're talking about Love is Blind season 6, first 6 episodes. I think it's a good season. It's very, I think, like the way how we watch it as a family, I like the fact that we pause and discuss the whole relationship thing. I think the girl Chelsea, you know, her insecurities really, really stumble her, and I feel sorry for her. Her insecurity is just so painful. I mean, yes, Ina, I know she's stupid for having to people that she look like me.
I look like pops. That's the worst thing.
But you see how, what's her name from the watch, which season the girl Irina was? I saw same way Irina did said she looked like Megan Fox though.
She was the one who said she looked like Megan Fox.
Isn't she? You never remember?
Yes, I remember her, but she said she looked like Megan Fox.
Yes. I don't know why didn't it terrorize Megan Fox?
Also, the audacity. Like, I would never. We had this big discussion. It's like, I want to know in what world, especially, I think it's very, look, I don't even know how we're going to get into how I should talk about this properly, but I feel that was very manipulative and calculating of Chelsea to say that, because in what world, if you are in a dating show where you do not see how the other person look, you just go drop something like that. And I just want to highlight again, she was the one who started the conversation. She's like, oh, have you ever been, and you know, when people start conversations because they actually just want to talk about themselves, it's like, oh, have you ever been compared to like a celebrity? And I don't even know what the fool's name is. Guy's like, yeah, no. And he's like, Jimmy. Yeah, well, Jimmy. He's like, yeah, my name, yeah, you know what, I constantly get, you know, called her, I don't even know where her name is, what's it, MJK's wife. And you just see his pause and he's like, Megan Fox. And she's just like, yeah, but I don't see it. I only have dark hair and eyes. Oh, it doesn't matter if she said no afterwards. She set the scene.
All right,
she
look here. I'm not debating with you about Chelsea. Like I said a while ago, I think she's painfully insecure, and a part of me feels bad about the things that I said about how she looks and like and all, and I just don't like the way that she's the target for people to stomp on her. I think she deserve much
criticism.
Yes, because what she did was very calculated. But I want to set my focus on and the men.
Oh,
I feel like the men are so emotionally
not all of them. Trevor
is just basic, man. Yeah,
look
here, Trevor is basic. The fact that he, you know, like he's just average.
The speech he gave in comparison. Chelsea?
Look, he never do no speech. He just basically asked the question, would you have chosen me if I had gone first? Which was a very essential question to ask at that moment, which I think it's good that he asked it, because again, we get to see that Chelsea is a girl that is very scatterbrained and also so painfully insecure and unsure of herself that it's, I mean, I have no office about her. I want to talk about the fact that these men are irritating me to the highest levels.
Oh my
God, and surprisingly enough, Matthew and Abada Mr. Machina, you know why? Because I do think that he is what I say on the autistic spectrum.
Neurodivergent
or whatever. Yeah. Like I think that if that is his explanation, I could see that was the reason. What pissed me off is that Jimmy, who is a central guy in the whole thing.
How did he get it?
Because he's slow to respond, and women take slowness and lack of, clear sentences as a man being reflective and contemplative and possibly wise.
And we're so wrong.
And we are so not, you know, doing the right thing with that. And for me, having watched in other seasons, that's the thing that stands out for me, that the way that women always, for the most part, on average, we're not counting the Chelseas and the Irinas and the rest of them who just like crazy.
But there is a part.
No, but the majority of the women are pretty much more emotionally intelligent. And it's at this point, it's disturbing.
I'm interested to see where this is gonna go.
When it's done, we're gonna do an episode. I don't want to talk no more about it, because I want the podcast to really be about Bob Marley's movie.
Yeah.
When its season is done, we're gonna do an episode, and then I want us to talk about it within the context of.
I'd still like to make
red pill feminist things and where you
first
get
of all,
yourself
it's
involved.
Black pill.
Oh, okay.
Second of all, I'm not in it. Third of all, I'm for that. We do like every now and then like check-ins, especially like hearing your opinion how you were when we actually watch it when it's fresh. Cause I think afterwards hindsight reflection is always a bit different, you know, so it's good that we have this moment right now. Also, you know, follow us on Twitter. We're liking a lot of I'm liking a lot of tweets, and so there I have to say I think I love the shows because of humanity, the messiness of it, like actually watching the show and getting to know the people, but also going on Twitter and seeing like the reactions. And it's also, I guess it is the whole ego crowd thing or whatever, but to see how other people see the things you see, and like the jokes and the way the references and the connections they pull, and you're just like, oh.
But I wonder though, Inya, like, it's all fun and games, you know, but there is a very, very deeply educational aspect to this show that I hope that young people, or not even young people, because even as a person who's been married for years watching this, and like, to see how it's important to be aware of how you communicate, for example, and how
also picking up on red flags.
Yeah, you know, there are so many things there that can be, that can be very useful as a young person. I think, especially because we're living in a time where people are so socially awkward and also just emotionally tone deaf, I think being a spectator to something like that is very useful. I want to hope that it's especially useful for men, and that's why I'm so glad that, you know, your father and Jonathan are watching it with us, because I like to hear their perspective. I also like to watch their faces when they are seeing how the men are being just doofuses, and to
hear their opinion.
Yeah, because that is, because in a lot of ways, you know, we talk, I talk all the time about male intimacy, and no matter how you talk, it's never gonna be enough. So this is kind of a sort of form of male intimacy for me, the fact that they're watching other men and seeing how they're engaging or not engaging, and just like, perhaps from that they can think about, you know, how to reflect and how to, I don't know, go deeper. Like, I wanted to slap Jimmy. He's so annoying, and then he's so average looking. I think for me, the like I said, I'm emotionally bothered by that girl AD. I'm worried for her. I really am. After that whole thing, was it Married at First Sight or was it Love is Blind, when the guy was bisexual and he was just disrespectful?
That was Love is Blind, and Married at First Sight was that scamming man where afterwards he was like, oh yeah, he works and he has so much money, and then the lady,
like, and that's what I'm saying, like, this is third time now, and I'm sure there are other instances of black women just coming up on the shorter end of the stick in these things. I don't like it. I really don't, and I don't know what to say. Is it the producers who are doing this? I think that is something in the culture of black women. Like I was saying to Melanie yesterday, that I think, could it be that because black women tend to, you know, overcompensate for the men? But I think there are many statistics that shows that white women are also not having fathers not in house and in household same way. So I just don't like it. I don't like it. And I feel like this girl AD is such a beautiful girl. Like, I think she's very self aware.
Yeah.
I like, for example, you see when you went to the pool at the bar, and the girl was talking about how she was saying, you know, she don't really fool around with sugars because, you know, she's aware.
And she
goes to the gym, and, you know, she's fully aware that once she gets, you know, older or pregnant, you know, our body can change. So it's already a girl who is very self-aware. And this damn piece of shit.
Yeah.
But, well, if you don't go to the gym,
I'm going to tell you, babe. It was a joke.
I just cannot.
And the way she had to derail him, teach him and explain to him why that was wrong, and then correct him, for then him to like take 2-3 rounds till he actually got it.
Yes.
And even then he didn't really get it, you know?
And then he gets to say to the guys, oh, you know, she really puts me in check, you know, and that's what she puts me in check. Like, he's a child.
Anyway, you want to know here my manifestation that I would like? I would love for one of these podcasts or like snippets, because, you know, that's the goal, to go viral, and that's what we start doing. That becomes our main job. Like, we react to shows. Like, we get to sit, we like to watch the live watch the shows, and we tape the reaction. Because I feel we have the way we don't, and maybe this is me hyping, you know,
yes,
whatever.
Because
I'm hyping ourselves up. But I genuinely feel we don't watch the shows as other people say. And we see the things that make, like, even like the cross connections with like cultural references, societal, and stuff like that. And I feel that is I'm not saying there's no right or wrong way to watch TV because whatever, but I think it's always better to do things mindful and fully focused.
There is
as coming from somebody who's like literally while we're taping this is watching TV on the side, but no, that's look, a different
there
topic.
Is a right way to, and a wrong way to watch those kinds of reality shows. I think if you watch them very surface and like
mindless,
like, yeah, no, that for me is like the worst thing you could do. I just feel it's an encyclopedia of human behavior, and specifically human behavior as it relates to men and women, man and woman, and relationship. If watched properly, you can. There's a ton, a wealth of information there. But anyway, Enya, it's late. I'm tired.
And now. I have work tomorrow. And the episodes are coming out tomorrow because tomorrow's Wednesday.
Right.
All right. Well, Mom.
I want to say that.
That's a book you're recommending.
Yes, I think I want to say recommend it. It's The Holocaust Industry by Norman Finkelstein.
The second edition.
It's the second edition, Reflections on the Exploitation of Jewish Suffering. I think it's a very important book to read in terms of gathering information about where we're at right now, given the current state of affairs. I think... You know, if you're looking for a wide way of looking at what has happened, I am a big fan of reading everything, and I think this book is considered one of those books that is sort of like a pariah because people don't want to really engage with the information that is in there. But like I said, from the research that I've done so far,
because he has citations, right?
I've not seen any books that come out and like point for point say what he has in his book is incorrect or is, you know, plagiarized. Or there, it's just a very, very shifting set of information to confront. Okay. And I'm looking forward to you and your father and your brother reading it because I want to hear your thoughts. There's some other books that are coming to that I'm planning to read on the topic of the whole Palestinian Israeli thing. What?
Are we on a watch list?
I don't know. I don't care.
It's so weird. I was hoping for you to cuss me. Don't make me actually feel, you know, afraid.
Cause I don't know what else to say. Like I feel like I would be very sad to think that there are people in the world who know about this book and were not trying to get it and read it and reread it given what's going on right now.
Yeah, I think the connections. Right.
And to use it along with other books because like I said, I mean, that's his opinion. There are counter arguments to that. So I am open to all the things because I think that for me is the whole business of bearing witness, right? Mm-hmm. Bearing witness in the discussion as it relates to both sides, but also helping me to ultimately form an opinion because I do think there's going to come a point. Do you hear this? There's a mad echo.
Yeah, I hear myself. It's okay.
Yeah, I think that that there are many good books out there that can be read on the topic so that when you have an opinion, it's an informed opinion.
Based on all the information that are out there.
This thing that is happening,
it's deep.
Who was I listening to the other day? Somebody was doing an interview. It was a writer though, I know that part. Because he was basically saying that he can't do anything right now. He's supremely distracted. And I'm distracted.
Distressed. That was a host you showed me on Instagram. This was, I don't remember who, but it was just like text on white paper, and he was like, he finds himself like, or I don't know, I thought it was a woman, honestly, but she was just making the comments that like, yeah, it's very distressing the time it is, and he doesn't feel like whatever he's saying isn't really like helping the discussion.
Like,
or
that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm coming across a lot of writers, a lot of poets, and I mean, people who are sensitive. And I don't even want to say people are sensitive. I think if you're a human being, I don't know how you can just. True. I mean, I'm not saying sit down and watch it the whole time, you know, but I'll tell you honestly, I take time out of my day. Some days I sort of we'll give it a break. But I always come back, I always look, I make sure that I am disturbed by it, I make sure I feel my feelings, because I think that if we allow ourselves to not look, we are losing our humanity. The idea that people are saying, well, you know, you have to self-care, and self-care means that you have to take yourself away from looking. I think if you're self-caring and your version of self-care is not to look and to bear witness to what is happening, that self-care is without any merit, ultimately.
Yeah.
You know, but I do want us to have like a podcast where we just talk about this. I know that living in Germany, there are certain, you know, there's so much taboo and
restriction, and also like false twisting of words.
Yeah, Finkelstein talks about it in the book too, you know, about how in Germany, you know, it's almost like Germans are allergic to saying anything negative,
if at all,
about the topic. So I get that, but I'm not German in the purest sense of the world. Oh my God, pure and German should never be in the same sentence. But like, I don't consider myself to be a German. You know, and I think, but living here, I think requires me to see the situation from that angle.
Yeah.
And I think as a human being, I just can't look away.
Yeah. I don't think that's something you should look away at and just take the excuse. A lot of people say like, oh, it's so complicated and it takes long. It's like, you can take the time.
It really pissed me off when I hear people say that to me. Yeah,
because it's like a bullshit way of just like, okay, I'm gonna just dodge it for now. Cause yes,
or I'm gonna go watch something. I'm gonna watch some football, or I'm gonna go watch.
And
you
there's
know?
So many like really great, even neutral pieces that really explain the history where it's not that complicated.
No, it isn't.
There's nothing like human history that can't explain.
It's not complicated. The idea of saying it's complicated is just a way to get people who are already on the verge of not paying attention to it to completely not pay attention. It's like basically giving people a pass for being dunce. Yeah. Yes, I said it.
It is, because it's a
dunce and
topic.
Emotionally just like robots.
Yeah, it's a nuanced topic, just like many other things, because there are a lot of moving parts, even active things going on right now. But there is a source, there's roots you can go back to and like learn it.
And just to be lazy, just don't be lazy. And I think when people say it's complicated, it's because in order for you to, if you don't know anything, you are gonna have to invest some time. And but the time is not you know, it's a finite amount of time, because there's only so much history there that you can look at, and then you can see what's happening currently, and then you can sort of like begin to have a conversation.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. But let us end on a high note.
I think it just to tie back to the review of the Bob Marley movie, in especially that scene that, you know, really moved you, where he said, you know, at the end of the day, you're not supposed to try and make peace on the outside and everywhere else. You're supposed to try and find peace within you. If you're lucky enough to extend it to your surroundings, your physical surroundings, then maybe to your loved ones and the people around you. So at least, I think those are the micro ways we can help the macro. In a way, if we can help little societies every now and then.
As we watch right now, and I want to cut you away, what we watch, the US is vetoing, because in the UN right now, they're voting for a ceasefire. And the United States, which is this woman who is, I don't even know why they have to put her there as the one, the face. But anyway, she's the representative. She's the one that is vetoing it. Vetoing it meaning that they don't agree with the ceasefire.
But again,
peace
within.
Find the peace within. Find, share it with the ones around you. Have the courage.
Hold on tight.
And no, but have the courage to bear weakness. Yeah? Bearing weakness is a solid way, because there's nothing that we can physically do. So it's the actual least we can do. It's to bear weakness to it, because I think history is going to write this time. And we're going to all have to say, what were you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Were you being distracted on Netflix watching Love is Blind the whole time?
Yeah.
But see, this is the lady here. I don't even know what her name is. I can't. They don't have her name.
Yeah, we'll see.
But she's the UN representative. And she basically is the one who is vetoing the UN's vote for a ceasefire.
Well, Mom, Enya, it was fun. Let's do this again.
Well, next month is my birthday month. So we will do one earlier. Say,
yeah.
We will do it later.
Why?
Because, I don't know.
I feel like this is a thing that's going on. It's like, you know.
No, I feel like I want
you're to the veto between the two of us.
What do you mean?
This is not how democracy works, right?
Why would we do it earlier, Enya? Because first of all,
earlier, but like especially like
no, I feel like we should the next time we do it should be around the time when the episode is this Love is Blind is done, so we can. Or you wanna do it separate?
No, I'm saying I definitely want to tape individual, like reactions after we watch the like. For example, Wednesday we're gonna watch it, so then maybe on the weekend there's just like a quick 20 minutes if even at all, just to like our recap our thoughts, just to
because
have it.
Because how many episodes gonna come out tomorrow?
3, but we're not gonna watch all 3 of them tomorrow.
No, I told Luna already, you know, I'm working on Thursday.
We're all working, Mom.
I'm speaking for myself. I do not engage in no long TV watching on a Wednesday night, but right, yeah, we'll see.
Anyway, thank you all for listening. Please, you know, if you're listening,
fine.
Leave a comment.
Find ways.
Find a like. Let us know that you're actually out there. Find
ways to self-care. Oh. But
I thought you were going to recycle back to us at the podcast.
Enya.
I see you've given up. Anyway,
I've not given up.
Between the two of us, like in a couple of years, you know. At any event, so, like
mad people just sit here and talk. Anyway, I want to just say, this is narcissistic, you know. We could literally just be sitting here and talking. No, we have a mic and like it's taping it and we're putting it up on social media.
No, this is my ego.
But we could literally do it for ourselves too. We don't have to put it up on Spotify and stream, which are open different platforms. Anyway, Enya, it's great. I look forward to us having our next one.
Yes, I think we both
in March.
Yes.
And Pisces season is dawning. It's the best time to be.
It's chaotic season.
Yes, it's chaotic magic. Get it right. Chaotic magic. Season. Anyway.
All right. Well, have a great month, guys. Tune in next
What's
month.
Left of it.
That's true. Yeah, catch you all next time. Bye. Bye, Mom.